The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Welcome to Film Vault, everyone. Thanks for listening, downloading, sharing the time with us. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts.
Yeah.
For today, top five instant streams.
What?
Top five movies, Anderson.
What?
You can stream instantly on your home device, your computer, your TV, laptop, whatever you choose to stream films. We are going to recommend five.
Yep.
Some of us four that you can watch right now and enjoy. Well, maybe ones we talked about recently, ones you haven't seen, ones you may have forgotten about, ones that may fly under the radar a little bit, but we're going to try and pick out some quality films for you this week.
Yeah, and I was under the impression that we were doing something slightly different, not that far different, but it'll give everyone a little taste of what I want to do here in the near future. I'd like to do it 2-3 times a year.
Okay.
Where so all the movies that are on my list tonight, there are movies that I went back about the last 6 months and looked at my Flick Fashions, all the movies on Flick Fashions, and movies that kind of went under the radar, kind of touched upon, but then we didn't really spend that much time. I want to, you know, kind of like you do a little bump, like not a Coke, but of like on the message boards where you want to like give a little bump,
rise
like get it back in the top of the thread.
I gotcha.
Yes, because some of these movies, actually, I was looking at the list. I'm like, holy shit, we need to talk about that one again. Plus, now it's streaming.
Yeah.
So 4 of my 5 are actually streaming for free somewhere.
That's a great idea.
As well as one that you can pay 99 cents for on Instant, Amazon Instant, which I think is worth bringing back into the fold here for a minute. Because I know that you and I, we differ on a lot of things, Brian. One of them is the purpose of the show. I feel like the show is definitely a service, and I like to get these movies that are somehow forgotten, swept under the rug, not talked about much in many places. And I love to, my favorite thing is when I get like emails from listeners or I meet people and they're like, oh, I would have never seen this, but you guys let me know about it. And that makes doing the show worthwhile.
I agree.
For me.
I love when I talk to people and they're like, are you still doing that film show? I had to tune after the first couple episodes because of Anderson. And I was like, yeah, I'm still doing it. You should tune back in. You just mellowed out a little bit.
Why are you attacking? And I'm not mellowed at all.
Oh, no.
Hey.
Unmellow.
Also.
What's that?
Why
are you wearing a green striped?
Because it's cold outside. I got a fucking, what do you call these things? What do you call
scarf?
Them? Scarves.
You look like a Harry Potter character.
Oh, you can suck it.
You really do.
We also got a little red light, green light tonight with Miss Movies 2.0.
Diana Vandekamp is in to give us some movies that are future movies. The rare thing that we do here on the film, we'll talk about movies in the future.
New and approved, Miss Moves.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. You like that, Brianne? You like it.
What's wrong with you?
All right. So, but now you said this is also the second time we did this because I had a fucking meltdown when I figured out that we were doing a completely different top five list, which works. It works out. It's just fine. It's just fine.
It does.
But Brian's out of town.
Yes.
This entire week. So we can't do a show the week that you're listening to this. We're also doing a commercial free show.
True.
We'll do an Amazon read, I assume. No,
we will not.
Do an Amazon read?
Nope. Just a quick break and come right back.
All right. You still click through on the Amazon, though. That's what makes the show. That's the engine.
Yes.
The show.
That's the engine, the slave ship.
But I do have a couple. I have 1.5 movies, 1.5 movies, Brian, to flick fast here before we get to Red Light.
You got half a movie?
Before we invite our DBK in here.
All right.
Diana Vandekamp.
I'm dying to know what your half a movie is.
First of all, my buddy Chris. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to rat him out. But he hooked me up with a little screener of a movie that I think it's actually only playing in one theater right now. It should be coming out to limited release the week that this episode.
Could you get in trouble for giving you a screener?
I don't know.
Better not chance it.
I don't think he would get in trouble at all, but a lot of time, you know, studios don't like it when you're bandying about it. It's kind of like when you get a screener from like somebody who works in the industry.
If anyone asks, you can get it from me.
Right. Brian Bishop hooked me up with, I want to do that.
I never would.
So I got a screener of Dark Star, also known as Hans Rudy Giger.
H.R. Geiger. Yeah, the H.R. Geiger.
Geiger's Welt. Now, I talked about this film, I think, top five most anticipated summer movies, which I did 11 or whatever.
Documentary on H.R. Geiger.
documentary about the Swiss horrifying animator, and he contributed a lot to Hollywood.
Conceptual artist.
He's a surrealist. He's a surrealist. So Riley, what the hell? What's his name? Christ Almighty.
Riley?
Ridley Scott. There it is.
Okay, so easy, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Ridley Scott, I think, summed him up the best. And obviously, Ridley Scott kind of put him on the map, especially for like the everyday. It made him almost a household name, or at least his work household figures in people's minds. Everyone has the alien, the xenoform,
of course,
in their brain, and that's H.R. Giger. That's his stuff. I did learn that it is Giger, not Geiger.
Okay.
Giger?
H.R. Giger.
Forever. I will always call him Giger from now on. I'm not going to be confused anymore. But Ridley Scott said it best, I think, when he said the reality
Riley?
Of his work.
Sorry.
I wrote Riley. It was improper. It was improper. The reality of his work, not the fantasy, that makes it so strong. And that is so true when you look at his work, because it's all like flesh.
It's based in it's based in something that could be, theoretically.
So you get a really good idea of this guy, where he came from, what his deal is, what motivates him. And, you know, like is so often the case, stuff that mortified him and terrorized him as a child, he kept getting drawn back to the point where like he was obsessed with it. Like somebody gave him like a human skull, or he came in contact with a human skull when he was like 7 or 8, and he was terrified of it, but he kept going back.
Haunted his dreams.
And, you know, the guy's a great artist, obviously, and the stuff that he draws and paints, now there's a lot of that, they show a lot of it, but this is not the H.R. Giger documentary I was hoping for. Dark Star, it's called. Should be playing limited release.
What were the shortcomings?
The first 30 minutes, I almost bailed. I'm like, all right, I fucking get it. He's an old man now. This was shot like right before he died. He died last year.
Oh, that's right.
No longer with us. May 12th, 2014. He went to either be in the clouds with the harps, or maybe he's amongst his images. Because he paints hell.
Yeah, he does. He paints hell. Hellscapes.
Now, he's exceptionally old. Like, you feel bad for him in this movie, and he's just shuffling about. And it's one of these movies, you brought it up a while ago, these documentaries that are in love with access.
Yeah.
In love with the access. So they're in his house. It's kind of
we must show everything.
Creepy and funny to see like his house, and like, you know, he has all these creepy things that he's created over the years, paintings and actual figures and sculptures, and then an Oscar is amongst all that, because it won an Oscar for his work. But it was in love with the access. Like, people coming and going from his house, his a lot of shots of him wandering around his home with his inappropriately young wife speaking for him. Like, there's actually this one scene where she's like, what should I say? I had you draw this one. He's like, tell them it was LSD. And then she turns the camera. He was on LSD when he painted this one. But 30 minutes in, before I quit, I almost quit, it picks up, Brian. And it starts with H.R. Giger talking about suicide of his friend. That's a 30-minute mark. And you kind of really get the model that he used for so much of his early work is actually this woman that he was in love with who ended up killing herself. Mm. And you can't help but feel really bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's tragic.
And then it kind of gets into his Hollywood life, but then it goes back to the house stuff, and it slows the way down. There's going to be a great H.R. Giger documentary eventually. This is not it. The images were...
There's going to be another one?
Eventually, yeah, there has to be. Like, he actually said at one point that the images were so scary to him that he had to put it on canvas so he could have some kind of sense of control.
Okay.
He was terrified of his own images.
Sure.
You know? But it definitely filled with some of the most very evil images you'll ever gander. By the end, though, it's not a package that I can peddle, Brian. But I did see the bar. My wife had shown me the bar before. There's an H.R. Giger bar. I believe it's in Switzerland.
Oh.
And I must go to that. Oh, it looks like the inside of a
tilt one there.
Holy shit. But
was this the place decorated with his paintings, I assume?
It's like like bones for the walls. Like,
oh, wow.
He created the whole, but they didn't spend much time at the bar either. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I want to see the documentary at the bar.
It was going to be a very well complete. There's also another 50-minute documentary from about 3-4 years ago, which gets terrible ratings. I have not seen that. Mm. But this man deserves a better representation of his work and his life and what he did, for sure.
What's your half a film?
Half a film. Here we go. I went to a little world premiere, Brian. World premiere at the Man Chinese, whatever they call it now, the Grauman Chinese, the Chinese.
TCL Theater, I think.
Probably the Sony Chinese TCM or some theater? Ugly shit.
Shit.
Chinese theater out here, world renowned. Yep. There's a
famous
a world,
Chinese theater.
World premiere I went to last night.
They have
night,
a lot
Brian.
Of premieres there.
Red carpet. Little Human Centipede 3.
No.
Human Centipede 3! The final sequence! Oh, yeah.
100% politically incorrect.
Now, I had somewhere I had to be. It started 45 minutes late, so I didn't get to see the final act.
Now, they do a lot of showmanship at these things. You know what I mean? They have people dressed as things. They have people passing out drinks and food as
this
things.
This was pretty low.
Oh, I was going to say, I got to know what they were doing for this.
It was pretty mellow. Now, here's the main event. Here's the main thing that I got to. First of all, I'm sitting there right next to Martin from the second one. He's a little mentally challenged.
Oh, no.
Man.
No.
That's who I sat next to.
No.
Who stars in this one as well.
Oh, no.
I did not see Laser. I did not see Dr. Dieter. I was looking for him. I did not see Dieter Laser, Dr. Heiter. He was nowhere. Brie Olsen was there. As well as the head from the original, the Asian man.
Oh, the Asian
fella. He was sitting right next to Martin. And then Tom Six walks in, and he's wearing like an old Dixieland type suit, I guess you'd say, with a top hat and the whole deal. He goes up on stage to say hello to all of us. It's not a giant theater either. It's probably about maybe 80, 100 of us there, maybe, you know, half the cast and crew. And then they had some like super fans that won tickets or something.
Sure.
Not the kind of people I want to hang out with, I can tell you that much.
One girl, how did you end up there?
She thinks she was a vampire. I got invited.
Okay.
By publicity. So Tom Six gets up there. So inappropriate. With a very short black man. When I say short, he's
a dwarf.
A little person. Okay. Yeah. And he says, hello, welcome everyone. This is my servant and bodyguard.
No.
And Tom Six is holding a big cigar, right? But he's not lit because, you know, it's LA and we're a bunch of pussies. But his little servant and bodyguard is holding a giant ashtray like above his head the entire time. I'll show you a picture. I took it. So he kind of went on rah-rah about how hard it was to get these movies made. And there's a bunch of pussy stuff out there, that thing like slasher porn, and you forget it once you see it. You'll never forget this movie. And then the movie begins. And I got to watch the first two acts. A lot to like here for the Human Centipede.
Enthusiast,
yeah. It's Dr. Heiter playing a different character altogether. He's playing
awesome.
A Texas prison
doctor. Warden?
No, the warden. Yeah, he's the warden, and Martin's his little sidekick.
Oh no!
And they're supposed to just look just like the characters, but they aren't. They're different characters.
Right.
They're playing different characters, and it's Dr. Heiter wandering around screaming and yelling a lot.
Do you have a convincing accent, at least?
No. I mean, his accent is thick. It makes very little sense. The world's first human prison centipede will finally teach you how to become humans. A lot of that kind of shit. It just goes on and on and on. It's like he was just unwieldy.
Right,
I don't think that he was directed. I think the man's an insane person.
Right.
And
he's allowed to do whatever he wanted to do.
About 60, I saw about an hour of that. Oh, and there's some really hard to watch stuff.
Sure.
But it's all, first one, a really good horror. Second one, just pure exploitation slasher. This one is a black comedy. This one is played for laughs.
Right.
I don't know how many laughs it's going to get. I really enjoyed being there with the cast. Obviously, watching them watch it was fun for me. I was really disappointed. I had to leave early. Yeah.
Oh.
But I'll give it a proper flick fashion.
Okay. Second half of the film.
The last 30.
Third.
There was no centipede yet. He was just threatening. A lot of threatening. Like he waterboarding this one. He uses the N-word multiple times.
Nice.
He's waterboarding this this Indian man with like scalding hot water, boiling hot water.
That's
He's
a real like, double dip.
My version of waterboarding, XL style. Yeah, it's a lot of that. All right. Why don't we get...
Let's bring DVK in.
DVK.
You look like a pretentious director. You know that? You have your scarf
you
over your shoulder.
It.
No, I'm saying that you look like that you're the
world's first.
You have a t-shirt. You have glasses.
He's just drinking straight out of the bottle the entire movie. But there's this one scene where you think you've seen someone have sex in every single orifice. What if they make their own?
Oh,
like a
kidney wound?
Orifice. Yeah.
Mm.
That happens.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. That's so wrong.
Speaking
That's
of which.
So hi, DVK!
That is bad timing.
Come on in.
Let's bring her in for a little red light, green light. I'll describe the segment. We haven't done it in a while.
What's terrible to say is that was not the first time I had seen that move in a movie, Brian. Someone having sex with a wound.
Oh, was that in Crash?
Nope. But I'll talk about
Didn't someone have sex with someone's like wound in Crash?
I don't think so. You're talking about Cronenberg's Crash.
Yeah, I am. I'm almost positive they did.
I know there's a lot of sexual turn-ons with the car crash and the wounds and whatnot, but I don't know if... But there is, in a movie that will come up for sure when we do top five most disturbing scenes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. All right, sorry.
Diana.
Gentlemen.
Let's make is sure she on the right mic? Are we good? Are we good
on the right mic?
Yeah, yes. Both of them are on. She's on... Yeah, that's it. I think, Logan, you got it.
Tight.
Perfect. How are you?
I'm Peachy Keen. Jelly Beans. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Good, good, good.
Diana is here to do a little red light, green light. She will describe films for us that are either in some form of pre-production, some form of development, and we will decide as the studios whether they get green lit or red lit.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Indeed, indeed.
Good to see you. You look fantastic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Totally, obviously mutual. You guys look great, and I'm so excited to be here. I've got some fun stuff.
Good, 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 good.
Okay.
Nice. All right, pitch us our first film.
Okay, so this one is in a lot of forms of pre-production. There are a lot of rumors about it. So it's a to-be-announced, I think, release date for sure.
Human Centipede 4.
Nope. He will
you
not.
Know? Did you read my notes?
No, I did not read your notes.
It's Masters of the Universe, He-Man.
Fucking A.
By the power of Grayskull, gentlemen.
It hasn't happened yet.
Me too. I'm actually kind of surprised too. I thought there'd be like a flood of like GoBots and ThunderCats.
I thought three times now this year already. I've thought three separate occasions. I thought, how have they not made this a live action movie yet?
All right, what do we have so far?
Wait, you're not curious as to why three times?
Tell me, please. Why three times?
Chappie.
Wait, what do you mean?
Chappie wants He-Man.
Chappie watches He-Man. That's how he learns to be a man.
Yes. Okay. Each time you saw, you're like, wait, where's the He-Man movie?
Yes, every time.
All right. I'm gonna go ahead and do a bright green right now. I'm going to try and dim my bulb.
Okay. So this is what I know so far. It's obviously a reboot of Mattel's He-Man, Masters of the Universe, which revolves around the forces of good, He-Man, and She-Ra, who I played once for Halloween. Not important.
Which one?
Old school She-Ra, not important, not relevant.
Which one, He-Man or She-Ra?
She-Ra.
Yeah, of course, She-Ra. What? She's not playing He-Man. What are you trying to do?
Hence the hilarity.
Uh huh.
Okay, I was slow on the uptake there, and the evil world of and then the good versus evil. Obviously, Skeletor is evil. In the fantasy world of Eternia,
men at arms.
It's ravaged by technology, which seems to be the conflict. Technology and Skeletor.
What?
And
it's interesting because Skeletor was a castle of Grayskull, and he
it's very medieval.
Yeah, it seems
technology.
Old school.
It's like Skeletor having problems with his iPhone over there.
Guys, the Genius Bar.
Wait, was that what's the name of the little dude that we used to hide?
Oh, like, the little
did
like
you
goblin
see me under the tree and the lead box wrapped in a.
He was in a cloak. Yeah,
he was in a cloak, and like he'd be hidden in every episode.
Yeah, I remember where I loved He-Man as a kid. I really did.
Wait, what was the name of his tiger? And it had an ironic name.
There's Duncan and Tila and...
Because he's a scaredy cat.
Satyga.
He's a scaredy cat.
Oh. I forgot. I've totally forgotten. Shame on me. Anyway,
Logan.
The script is being worked on by Jeff Wadlow, who he did Kick-Ass 2. Mm-hmm. And possibly Channing Tatum is being thrown around as He-Man.
Come on. Settle down. How's he going to have a blonde Kurt Cobain?
Yeah, I don't like him with the blonde.
You got to have a Kurt Cobain.
You got to have the Page Boy haircut.
You do.
You have to.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so what do you think, gentlemen?
That's all we know so far in the cast?
That's all we know. Oh. Yeah.
Are they saying anything about his tiger friend?
I don't know about
They
got to
have a tiger friend.
Of course they do.
All right.
Yeah. It's an important element for sure.
The tiger was like comic relief, right? Because the tiger went
Cringer.
From...
Cringer, nice.
Just for the record, I didn't look it up.
Freddy Cat.
Came to me.
Okay, from like Freddy Cat.
My fearless feline friend, Cringer.
Yeah.
Nice recall there.
The green and yellow tiger. I am 100% greening this.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
I can see myself once it sees the light of day, banning it. They do it improperly.
Is Michael Bay getting involved?
Are they going to do it for laughs? Are they going to do it like ironically?
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think John Woo was attached to it for a second, but he's out now. He's out now. He's out now, I think.
For the record, I don't think Channing Tatum would be the best He-Man.
Who do you think would be?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Tom Hardy would be good.
Tom Hardy would be fantastic. I mean, if he'd be good as anything.
He really
could. Tom Hardy could be the dude, anything but the guy that hides.
He could be the tiger. He could be Man at Arms.
Yeah, he could be Duncan. Yeah,
he could be Skeletor.
Yeah. Ooh.
You know what's so funny is John Woo. Like I would read almost anything that I hear his name attached because I'm so over the John Woo films of my lifetime.
Right.
But He-Man would be perfect.
Yeah.
Why has he got to be done?
He could really come back with that. I think
he could.
Yeah.
Can you imagine slow motion He-Man with dubs flying behind him?
Wow.
I'd watch that.
All right, very much green from both of us for He-Man.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. Okay.
So, and no director attached at this point?
At this point, no. I guess John Woo is working on something else right now. But this has been being tossed around for a little while. The script is being reworked an awful lot, so...
Oh, that's not a good...
Yeah, it's not great signs right now, but I've got my fingers crossed it'll all turn around.
Okay.
Okay.
As long as they don't like just do like what they did with the Smurfs.
Right.
You know, don't fuck me.
No.
Right? Don't
no.
fuck my childhood.
Sure. Go Lego, not Smurfs.
With our good enthusiasm behind it, I think, you know.
You're absolutely right.
It's going to go forward for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next movie, please.
Okay. Our next one is also to be announced release date, and it's called The Worst Marriage in Georgetown, and it's a crime drama.
I'm done.
And Albrecht Muth is an eccentric social climber and is seduced by a married, wealthy older widow, Viola Drath. Muth and Drath start throwing lavish parties and events at their home.
It's a Tim Burton movie.
It is not.
Okay, keep going.
Things will get interesting, I think, for
she's,
you.
She's still talking.
Heard Muth and Drath.
Tuned out.
Anyway, Muth lies about his background,
Vermouth.
Which comes under scrutiny when Drath is found murdered.
Mm-hmm. Drath.
All right, guess who's directing this one?
What kind of names are these?
This sounds Wes Anderson-ish.
Mm-hmm. It does. Are you going to say Aronofsky on me? Are you going to say Darren Aronofsky?
In my life is your hint.
What?
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz is directing? Out!
Wow.
Red!
Why?
Really?
Get in front of the camera!
Really?
Is he starring in it too?
Yep. Oh.
Starring in it.
Got a double whammy here.
Interesting.
Yellow light.
Interesting.
It's yellow
weird.
Light.
It's weird when people direct themselves, though. It's strange.
Yeah, you know what? He's been around enough great directors and good production. I'm sure he picked up a thing or two.
Christoph. I don't like the names. I'm out. And for that reason, I'm out.
Okay.
That
reason, okay.
All right. Do we have another cast? Is there any other cast
that's
announced?
All we know so far. This one is also pretty early in development.
I'd also like to say that I hate movies with marriage in the title.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Can't think of too many.
One good movie with marriage.
Didn't Woody Allen have? Oh, Love and Death. Wait, Love and Marriage?
There's a lot of marriage movie.
It's true.
Yeah. Except for Four Weddings and a Funeral, and that's not really a marriage.
It's not a marriage movie.
Wedding,
no, no.
It's wedding. Wedding right there. All right.
I'll green light that.
Okay.
I know Christoph. I cannot look away when Christoph's on the screen, so green light.
All right.
Hey, off topic here for a second. You see Big Eyes, TVK?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Did you enjoy him?
That courtroom scene?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just throw Oscars, pelt Oscars at him for his talent. He was so fun.
It redeemed the movie.
It really
was the best
did.
Scene in the movie.
It caught me off guard because I didn't realize I was watching like an over-the-top comedy until...
Yeah.
If they'd sort of stuck with that style, I think, consistently throughout the movie, I think it would have been a lot more fun.
Had some tonal issues. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, our next one is American Ultra, and it is an action comedy. A stoner and his girlfriend, sleepy small town existence is disrupted when his past comes back to haunt him in the form of a government operation set to wipe him out.
This is like a history of violence with a stoner.
I'm saying you're setting us up for failure, but let's hear.
Was it Logan that did the red light, green light there for a while? Like he would just try to like pitch movies that we would hate? Remember that?
Did Logan do Red Light, Green Light?
Yeah, he did it. He did it.
So that was just the first time.
Those were dark days.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand what
we were
doing.
That's five.
Yet.
That's 0-5, Logan. What's going on here? He's like, I thought that it was supposed to just be movies that you would...
I thought this segment was called Red Light.
Poor Babadook.
No. It's not what we call him.
Logan, do you have the email I sent you with the listeners' feedback? We should do that.
Oh, I thought we were going to be doing that last week.
No, let's do it this week. This will be a shorter show, so we need padding. So we'll do that the second half of the show.
I don't know if I can sign off on this.
It's fantastic.
All right, sorry, Dave.
Oh, no trouble, Bubble. Okay, so the director is Nima Nourzadeh. And, Project X is under that belt there.
Oh, the party movie?
But we've got starring Kristen Stewart. Walton Goggins.
I'm sorry, where are we? I'm lost.
This is the
American Ultra.
This is
the Stoner.
Stoner
History of Violence.
American Stoner History.
American History of Violence X.
Yeah. And then we've got Walton Goggins, Connie Britton, and Jesse Eisenberg.
Ooh, yeah, I love him, but he can't save this thing.
I do appreciate a good layup red light. So this is what I'll probably
Okay, got a double red light on this one. Okay.
Is it a comedy? This sounds like an action comedy.
Yeah, it's an action comedy.
Oh, out next.
Okay. All right.
Horrible.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. So
next movie.
Next, we have Deadpool.
And green.
Yeah.
Most anticipated.
This is supposed to be coming out February 12th, 2016.
Is it a remake?
Oh, it's done for Valentine's Day.
No, it's going to be romantic for sure.
Me and Ryan Reynolds in the movie theater.
Brian.
Valentine's Day.
We all understand you've heard of this and you're familiar with it. Settle down.
I want to hear Diana's version.
I like his excitement. Mm-hmm. Okay, a former special force operative turned mercenary is subjected to a rogue experiment that leaves him with accelerated healing powers, and he adopts the alter ego, Deadpool.
This is like he's an X-Men character. But it's like he's spin off because he doesn't really fit in the universe. He's he's a fan favorite. Logan, you know anything about Deadpool?
Yeah, he's a very self-aware character, so he's always constantly...
He's constantly referring to the fact that he's in comic books and stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Self-aware,
breaks the fourth wall quite a bit. This movie, they were developing this movie back when that X-Men Origins movie came out,
yep.
The Wolverine one.
The first Wolverine
movie.
And
then it got like kind of brushed under when he started doing Green Lantern. But then it got revived because some test footage surfaced and everybody was excited about it, so they revived the movie.
That's exactly how it happened. This project was dead and they couldn't get the funding, and Fox was kind of dragging their heels, and then this test footage they had shot years ago surfaced online. People went bananas for it, and all of a sudden we're making this movie, and it completely turned the project around from dead to happening.
This has nothing to do with the Deadpool from the 90s?
Nothing.
From my childhood?
You know what? This is the kind of movie I can see them referencing that movie. They're going to reference other X-Men movies like as movies.
Okay, all right. So that's like that question that I ask. Like Nicolas Cage, when he's in a movie, does the actor Nicolas Cage exist in that universe? No. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like every actor does,
except for
him and other actors. But not in the case.
Ryan
Deadpool.
Reynolds may exist in the Deadpool.
Yeah, he
universe.
May be talking about Ryan Reynolds' terrible performance or something like that in that X-Men
movie.
Any
movie that he's ever been in, except for the voices.
Why are they
dancing?
Voices was brilliant.
You were one of the people that suggested that I watch it, which I never would have.
It's number one on my queue.
It's a fun surprise. Okay. That one.
Enjoy.
Yeah. I really enjoyed him. We've got director Tim Miller behind this, he is known for the visual effects you saw in Scott Pilgrim. And he wrote that as well. And we've got Marina Baccarin. She's that really hot chick from Homeland.
Do not watch.
Oh. Do not.
She's lovely.
Neg.
Trust me.
I'm saying neg for the record.
You're saying a lot.
I'm saying neg.
We've got TJ Miller.
Out! Out!
I was ready to like TJ.
Dislike.
He's a good guy.
No.
And then we've got Gina Carano, not related to Mike.
She could have her voice dubbed again.
She's an ass kicker.
She is.
TV actor in Ryan Reynolds. Carano should not be on screen unless she's fighting someone like in a ring. And TJ Miller, I wish that he would stop breathing. That'd be awesome.
For a minute or for like ever?
Long enough so that like his heart stops as well.
Oh my.
I had to endure him for 2 hours one night on that other show that I work on. And he was the biggest blowhard ever to grace our mics ever. And that's saying something because Corolla was on those mics for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah. Bigger blowhard than Corolla. He regaled us with like a 30-minute, I might be a little bit hyperbole there, but it was like a full 7-minute story about Chat Roulette and how he met these chicks on Chat Roulette and he flew them out and it just went on and on. It's just a place, man, where people experience things, man.
Ew.
The worst.
Oh, that just made me want to take a mental shower.
Ruins those Mucinex commercials as well.
Back to Deadpool.
Sorry.
Back to Deadpool.
I have my tickets already, so I'm
all right.
I'm green.
So we've got a green light from
Mucinex. I'm gonna red just because Brian's so excited about it.
I'm assigning you Deadpool right now. Actually.
It would be great to actually have power. I'm not a guy who wants power, but it'd be awesome to have power in this situation where I could just like red light that, like really
actually making that happen.
Yeah,
you asshole.
I would look at you smiling.
I'm so happy.
Just pull
for
the
it.
Plug on it.
I
like a happy studio exec with your cigar. No, kid, your dreams are crushed.
Yeah, just pull the plug.
You're gonna see a very devastated Brian if that's a bad movie.
Oh,
call you in for a meeting just so you could watch me make the phone call.
Oh. I want you to see this.
3-way you in on the call.
All right, Anderson Green.
That's profound.
Anderson puts a green red on that. Green left that.
So many red things about that.
His outfit
not
is red.
Too red so far. Yeah.
I've green lit one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least one.
We've got
you're the Master of the Universe and I thought something else. Anyway,
you greenlit Masters.
Did not A History of Stoner Violence.
That's
did
it,
not.
But I think this might turn around now.
Here
okay.
we go.
Okay, so we've got The Secret Life of Pets. It's animated. And taking place in a Manhattan apartment building, Max's life as favorite pet is turned upside down when his owner brings home a sloppy mongrel named Duke. They have to put the Quarrels behind them when they find out that an adorable white bunny named Snowball is building an army of abandoned pets, determined to take revenge on all happy-owned pets and their owners.
So the white fluffy bunny is the villain of the film?
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like that.
Yeah. I like
a Pixar
that
movie?
Too.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think?
Couldn't find out much more on that.
I don't think that's Pixar.
Who's the director?
John Lasseter? We've got Chris Renaud. He did Despicable Me and The Lorax.
Yeah, this is
those
not,
are Disney...
I believe it doesn't matter, but it's not
like
Pixar.
DreamWorks.
Which
yes,
is fine, which
right,
is fine. But it does make a difference. It does make a big difference. Yeah.
It's not automatic green.
It's not an automatic green. However, I wish they'd leave the poor, pets that are just innocent bystanders. It's not their fault that they got adopted and they're living nice lives.
Right.
With Sloppy their mongrel.
Let's just go after the
punk band name.
Go after, how about we just go after humans that don't have pets? How about that? You leave everyone else alone.
No. I mean, I don't really know Snowball's motives exactly.
It's probably already in production. It's hard to rewrite it at this point.
It is. We've got the release date is possibly July 8th, 2016.
We got some voices in this? We got some celebrities?
Yeah, we do. Okay. We've got Ellie Kemper. She was in The Office, and she's in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Not TV Vault.
She's fantastic. she was in Bridesmaids. Kevin Hart, Lake Bell.
What? Kevin Hart.
I know. Lake Bell.
Please tell me Kevin Hart's playing Snowball.
That would be awesome.
That would actually be
that
good.
That would turn it around, I think. And we've got Eric Stone Street, who seems more likely to be Snowball. But we'll see. We'll see. Or will we see?
No, I like this premise, and I am a fan of Banicula. Big fan of Banicula.
Banicula!
How do you know Banicula?
How do you know Banicula?
How do you know
Banicula?
How do you know
Love it.
Love that book! One of the first books that I actually read.
Me too.
It's going to end.
Me too.
It's a classic.
And then there's other Banicula books, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to start reading now. And I went and I got bored really quick. But the original Banicula, where they bring home the vampire rabbit,
vampire
and they start
bunny.
Finding their carrots or
drained white carrots. White
Banicula! Rule! Logan, you ever heard of Banicula?
Nope.
Oh, you got it. Come on.
Fired.
Catch up.
All right, so are we green lighting this?
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, green light this. I'm going to have
green. I love it because you know what? Those abandoned pets, they need a voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess Snowball.
Maybe it'll make people think about adopting a little bit more.
Okay.
Or maybe
adopt, don't shop.
Fearful of the vengeance.
Didn't you just get another animal, Anderson?
I got a cat like 8 months ago.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How's that going?
First time I ever got a cat for a purpose. First time I ever got an animal for a purpose, I feel like a cattle ranger. Or is that a thing? I feel like a cowboy.
Cattle ranger?
I don't know.
On your
I
ranch.
I feel like
one who ranges cattle?
Who, has animals for purpose. You know what I mean?
Oh, like livestock.
Because we had tree rats, right? And they were finding their way into the house. It's like you don't have a proper doggy door. And like it was an issue. And I was like catching them in a cage and releasing them down the street because I can't kill things. So I'm like, fuck it. We're going to get a cat.
Sure.
And that cat is going to pay rent. And now we love the cat. Nicolas Cage from Leaving Las Vegas. That's the cat's name.
That's precious.
The wife named it. Okay, here we go.
All right, okay.
We're doing one more?
I've got a bunch more, but tell me to stop whenever you're ready.
You'll be back.
Let's do two more. Let's do two more.
Wow.
All right, so we've got
Ryan,
Joy.
Wow.
The release date
is... What's it called? Joy?
Yeah. Okay. Joy, the release date is December 2015. It is a drama. And it's the story of a family across four generations and a woman who rises to become the founder and matriarch of a powerful family dynasty.
I feel like I've read about this.
You might have. This one's pretty far along.
Asian?
The director is David O. Russell here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we've got...
That's why I've heard of it. That's why I read about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Jennifer Lawrence in this one. Bradley Cooper. Ooh. De Niro. Elizabeth Rome.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's really flexing his.
I saw a trailer for this.
Flexing his director muscles with all this new cast that he's got to try and wrangle.
Yeah. Hmm.
Says something though for David Russell because therefore he went through a stretch where actors would never want to work with him again. A number of actors said, "I will never work with that man again." And now look at he's getting returns.
Maybe
he got all warm and fuzzy
again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Oh, I found out what the dynasty is, or what she sort of like invents. She invents, I think, the miracle mop or something like that. Jennifer
Some kind
Lawrence
of infomercial.
Does. Yeah.
Kind of infomercial thing.
Mm-hmm. I do enjoy most of his movies. The only reason I'm going to say Red is because
you're a dick.
I'm a dick. If I've seen a trailer or read about it and I'm not remembering anything about it, it's a bad sign.
Mm. All right.
Sounds big. I know now because I remember reading about it because I was reading about some of my favorite directors' upcoming work recently.
Have enjoyed David Russell's
and
films.
I came across
some of them tremendously.
Joy, and the reason why I guessed Asian was because A, Logan was in the corner of my eye, and B, I was thinking Joy Luck
Club. Joy Luck, yeah.
And that spans like three or four generations with the Joy Luck Club.
You still have a Logan.
All right, one more.
Let's do one more. We've got The Fifth Wave, and the scheduled release date for this is January 2016. It is a sci-fi thriller. 16-year-old Cassie Sullivan tries to survive in a world devastated by the waves of an alien invasion that has already decimated the population and knocked mankind back to the Stone Age.
This sounds like another one of those like kind of like Maggie. I was bitching about that. Like they've done so many things with the genre. Now they're trying to go like dark and moody and drama.
Yeah, is this like
an alien drama?
Is this going to be young adult like 15-year-old girl? Or is this going to be a like dark and depressing 15-year-old girl?
Grace Moretz.
Mm.
Oh, she can go
brooding.
Either way.
Brooding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a director attached?
We do. We've got Jay Blakeson, who did Pitch Perfect. Fine film.
You're one of them.
I love it. Yeah,
you're
totally
one of the masses.
Am. Guilty pleasure.
It.
Love it.
Weird.
Love it. Yeah.
You should feel guilty.
You should feel guilty.
Weird.
Yeah. I know. I'm the worst.
Why do people like
that's
that?
That's weird. That's the Emperor's New Clothes.
How's the new one?
It's like, I haven't seen it. Just
Brian's going to see it pretty soon.
Are you?
Am I?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
Nice.
Check that out.
Awesome.
Oh, no.
He also did The Descent 2, which was actually a pretty decent sequel. So we've got Chloe Grace Moretz in this. Micah Monroe, she was the chick in It Follows. And the guest, we've got Maggie Siff. She's
the girl in It Follows, she was also in The Bling Ring, I think.
Yeah. And Maria Bello.
Ooh, I like that Maria Bello.
Me too. She's great.
Who's directing again?
We've got Jay
Blakeson.
Yeah,
Pitch Perfect. Yeah, Pitch
Perfect
Red.
Was so confusingly directed that I have to read this.
Red, I'm with you.
Really?
Red. Like, it felt like it had maybe a 10-year-old child directing it at times.
Yeah, it was patched together in ways that did not match.
It really did feel like a high school like play.
Yeah, like a student project.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, sometimes you just want to watch something you don't have to think too hard about.
Yep.
And that's what that movie was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I talked about one of those last week, so I know what you're talking about, honey. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you did. That was great when you did that last week.
Oh, you know what? I meant to do this at the top, and I'm going to do this while you're here as well, Diana, because I apologize to and I thank the listeners for letting me know. Numerous emails flooding in. I fucked up 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. No, I already apologized.
You already apologized? All right, forget it.
We're doing the show out of order, so it's all confusing. I apologize.
Everyone's doing great.
Okay. Thank you, Diana, for coming in and doing Red Light Green Light for us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Always an honor.
And keep tracking. We'll have an episode where we go over our picks of years past, and we'll see how close
we
are.
Well, Poltergeist coming soon to a theater near you, gentlemen.
Reboot.
Oh, have you seen the ads, though?
Reboot. Yeah, you know what?
Heavy clown on the not clown. There, Anderson.
Heavy
clown
on
not
the clown.
There.
Heavy on the clown. Yeah, I like that. And Sam Rockwell. He'll always get my ass in a seat.
Coming up next, top 5 movies you can stream instantly. Anderson.
Yeah.
This is normally where a commercial would go. Mm-hmm. A spot, an advertiser,
right.
A read.
Mm-hmm.
No such luck.
No,
nothing
luck.
This week.
Oh, listeners in luck.
That's right, listeners in luck. No,
it's one of those weird episodes where we're doing it out of order, and so we don't have the Amazon click throughs that we normally would. Brian would regale you with and
true.
Bore you the fuck with.
That's
and,
true. I'd go on and on,
and I would make offensive comments during that, and then
true.
I'd come back.
You tune out and then tune back in for your movie part.
Yeah, and then I bring up the rear with the movie part, and none of that.
Nope.
None of that. Even though we're taking just as much time,
scot free. But thank you guys genuinely for clicking through, doing all that you do. We appreciate it. It's a big part of the show, obviously, and means a lot to us. So before we get too sappy, back to the show.
Okay, Brett Easton Ellis fans, your man is doing shows again right here at Podcast One, basically because you demanded it. So congrats on that. And guess what? This time around, Brett's show is completely commercial free. Just subscribe at our web or mobile site. It's podcastone.com/Brett. That's B-R-E-T. There's one T in Brett. But you already knew that because you're like a super fan. Okay, this is the point where you run to your favorite hipster Wi-Fi spot and scream out, Brett is back! Brett is back! We won! Subscribe now and tell all your friends to do the same thing. Podcastone.com/Brett. That's B-R-E-T.
Hi, I'm Dave Chappelle.
This is The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com.
Welcome back. Thank you, Tarantula, Man vs. Teeth, The Royal Sound, and The Maladies of Adam Stokes. Thanks, you guys, for being our featured artists. If you want your tunes heard on The Film Vault, Anderson, if you'd like your tunes heard on The Film Vault, AndersonandBryan.com is where you go for contact information.
It's true.
Let's get into it, Anderson. Top five films you can stream right now.
Kinda. Yeah.
For the most part.
And like I said, like we said at the top, mine's going to be a little bit separate, a little look at things to come.
Okay.
With,
what? Oh, what we're going to do in the future?
What I like to do every now and again.
Sure, I like that idea.
Starting, I wish we had been doing it all along, you know, because there's some gems that have been kind of, we never talk about because they don't fit on lists or, you know.
I like that.
So yeah.
I tried to pick out something for everyone. I got a big action movie. I got a documentary. I got a couple little films. I got a family film.
Mm-hmm.
One film that's not even might not even be that good, but it's worth seeing.
What?
We're seeing. No, I'll explain.
Have I seen all yours?
No, I can say for sure you have
really?
Not.
Really?
You've seen four of my five.
And then three of my five are free. One is 99 cents. And then the one that I'm going to begin with, $3.99, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. But it's the one to have on your radar.
All right, if it's worth it, then it's worth it.
Go, you start.
Oh, me first. Okay, well, first one is the one you have not seen and is one that might be questionably good. There are some good things in this movie for sure, and it's worth seeing, especially because you can stream it for free on Amazon. I'm talking about Sucker Punch. Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch from 2011. Zack Snyder, director of 300 and Watchmen, and the Superman movie, and blah, blah, blah. Starring Emily Browning, Abby Cornish.
Why do you continue to champion this movie when it's admittedly not a good movie? Why? Why do you want to like it?
I don't want to like it, but I've seen enough. I've seen it now two full times. And
why would you watch a movie that's not?
Because there are, much as with much of Zack Snyder's work, there's always it's like cookie dough ice cream. It's like there's going to be chunks of delicious cookie dough in there, but there's going to be also a lot of vanilla, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that you'd rather you're kind of just filling up
usually
on.
Usually, when you're
but then
using
you get to another sweet chunk, and you're like, oh, more of this. So you keep digging.
Food analogies
you're compelled to
for
keep
movies,
digging.
It's not good. Yeah, like when you talk a whole movie. Oh, look, he's walking around.
Oh, good.
An ambulance came.
He lives. And
he does live. There's a coworker that I know here. I was surrounded by five EMTs moments ago out in the hall. So I just saw him get up and walk away, which is nice.
That's good
to
news.
See.
I'm very happy for that.
Because he might have been contagious. That's what you're saying. Okay.
You're gonna see Sucker Punch someday. You're gonna stream
Sucker
it for free,
Punch.
And I think you'll be on board with me where you'll say this is not ultimately a good movie, but man, oh man, there was some really good stuff in it.
Isn't it long as well? Yeah.
It's actually under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's not exceptionally long.
Number five for me.
It's not quite an almost awesome movie, but it's a could have been awesome movie. That's it.
Number five for me is a movie that I flicked fast probably about 3 months ago now, maybe four. It is currently on Amazon Instant for $3.99. You can watch this, or you can wait. I think you can maybe send away for it on the old Fuckflix. This is a movie that stuck with me, that it's going to continue to stick with me. I can tell you right now, I'm talking about Maps to the Stars.
Oh, it's on my queue.
Maps to the Stars, 2015. David Cronenberg. Makes me want to watch his last movie, which I heard really bad things about. But David Cronenberg is one of the more interesting directors, possibly my favorite Canadian director.
The story about this writer is interesting. I wonder if he bounced around Hollywood.
Written by Bruce Wagner, who's only one. And I'm not going to go into it. I just flicked past this about 4 months ago. So
well, that's the whole purpose of this episode.
I know, but I don't want to like just repeat myself. But what I said then, and I'll say it again, is Bruce Wagner is most notably known for Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And he's not really made anything since or before, and he's kind of gotten fucked by Hollywood. You can tell he's a very angry man in his writing on this take on Hollywood, which is Maps to the Stars, starring Julianne Moore, who plays a kind of a washed-up actress on lots of meds. Mia Wasikowska.
Wasikowska.
Who's great. I'm loving her. I'm liking her. Every time I see her in something, I like her a little bit more.
Yeah.
She plays a bizarre character who comes into or back to Hollywood to kind of see her roots and to see this and to see that. You're trying to figure out. She's kind of the mystery character. John Cusack plays like a he's a masseuse therapist. Very Hollywood douchey stuff. And then Robert Pattinson plays a limo driver.
Okay.
aspiring actor. And it's a scathing look, an indictment of Hollywood and all the filth and the worst, the ugliest underbelly of, when I say Hollywood, I'm not talking about like the homeless urchins all on the streets, which, I mean, that's the ugliest part of Hollywood. There's a bunch of drug addicts and like runaways.
Yeah. People end up here.
But this is the ugliest side of like the glitzy.
Successful, quote unquote.
I met
air quotes.
And it sticks with me. For whatever reason, our friend of the show, Mike Carano, he became obsessed with this movie, which is rare for him. He went and saw it in the theaters three times.
He's like, you know what he's like? He's like Roddy Piper in They Live, who wears the glasses. Like, Carano has the glasses that he can see the horribleness in people. Like, it jumps out at him.
But Cronenberg, when asked about this movie and the satire.
Insightful communist, man.
No. Was it really that insightful?
It was insightful.
You're really just sitting there wallowing.
Like,
in your
acknowledgement.
No,
actually.
You're bathing.
Like, acknowledgement.
All right, yes, very well said.
Thank you very much, Anderson.
He has glasses that lets him see the bad side of things.
Yeah, like Roddy Piper in They Live. He can see the zombies.
Then why would he like this movie? He wouldn't have to see this movie.
No, he identifies with this character. He's like, yes, finally someone's saying this, someone's portraying a character who sees things like the way I do.
When David Cronenberg was asked about, you know, the satire and parody in this movie, he said, what satire? What? This is Hollywood. This is what I see.
Yeah.
Both.
You have to delude yourself to not see this.
Bruce Wagner, writer, and David Cronenberg, both fairly cynical. Fairly cynical. What were you saying?
You have to delude yourself as a person in this town to not see that kind of stuff. I mean, you can actively, you know, sort of ignore it, but it's there. It's all around.
It's there, yeah. But, I mean, there's definitely satire in this movie.
Sure. This is exaggerated.
Well, you haven't seen it. So stop.
I'm sure there's exaggerated to an extent.
Stop agreeing with me if you don't see.
I can't agree with you.
No, okay.
I can't agree with that.
$3.99 on Amazon Instant. I hesitate to have you spend money on it just yet, though.
You can send away for it. Come over to my house and watch it. I'll have it done next week.
But I really enjoyed it. And obviously, Mr. Carano did as well.
Okay. Number four for me. Quick switcheroo. Number four for me is a film with zero Oscar nominations. Sadly, but you can stream and decide for yourself. If Fruitvale Station got snubbed, Fruitvale Station is streaming. But I should add that most of these are actually newer streaming movies.
Michael B. Jordan was great.
Fantastic.
He was.
Ryan Coogler was the director, 27-year-old USC grad, in his debut film. Hey, speaking of USC grads, congratulations to your wife.
It was 2 weeks ago, then.
Oh, no, I just heard about it.
Thanks, buddy.
The news just got to me. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan, he was fantastic. You might know him from Chronicle, Octavia Spencer. And yeah, this is a true story of the kid that got killed at Oakland, the BART station
in
Oakland.
BART station.
And this is sort of his chronicling is what, last 24 hours? No, not even 20, last 6 hours maybe or whatever.
Last day.
Oh, that's right, because it is the morning when he
opens up with him smoking weed, waking and baking, and then talking to
him. The pall really kind of hangs over the movie because you know what's coming.
You know what's coming, which makes it interesting.
Makes it sad.
I was afraid, when I went to see it, I was afraid they were just going to like make this, you know, put him on a pedestal and make him an angel. And they definitely showed. And a lot of people complained about this movie. I heard a lot of both sides. But what it was a composite of a bunch of actual stories.
About it? I like this movie a lot.
A lot of actual stories, different stories of things that he actually did that actually did happen in this guy's real life. And they put them all in one day. And a lot of people had a problem with that.
Sure.
Like, he had quite an eventful day. It's not true in that sense. It's not accurate in that sense.
This movie like is telling the story. Yeah, okay.
The dog in the street. I mean, there's a lot of things that actually happened in his life. And they threw it all in this one day. So it could be. And then I love the Kevin Durant character at the end. God, he's awful.
Not the basketball player, but the Kevin Durant, the big tough actor.
Yeah, and not what? Look at that. Kevin Durant and Michael B. Jordan.
Wow.
Not basketball.
Going one-on-one at the end. Showdown. Midcourt.
Number four for me. He can stream this on Amazon Instant for 99 cents.
Ooh, that's nothing.
Standard or HD. Standard or HD.
Get it now.
Both 99 cents. Talking about top five.
Oh, the top five. Chris Rock movie.
Written and directed by Chris Rock. Don't look at the poster because it's awful.
Yeah, that is worth seeing.
It's a terrible poster. The whole trailer, the whole campaign for this movie just didn't really do it justice. This is a good movie. Another movie that takes place in one day. It's Chris Rock walking around his old haunt in New York, various spots of New York, talking to an interviewer played by Rosario Dawson.
Rosario Dawson.
Yes. And This feels very like a Spike Lee, Woody Allen. It's a new, fresh take on New York. New York is a character, Brian.
New York is a character in the film.
But it's about an actor who he's playing a version of himself, and he's tired of doing the big over-the-top comedies that make him all the money, and he wants to do something more serious, and he's kind of reflecting on his own life. A lot of very funny stuff, a lot of great characters. Fun movie. Top five. Don't let it just kind of just disappear in the ethers. Make sure you check this one out, especially if it's only 99 cents.
This is a movie that I didn't expect to be good, turned out to be good, and I still somehow didn't hear much about it. Like, it flew under the radar a little bit.
Some really, really funny moments with Cedric the Entertainer.
That's right. Cedric was great. Tracy Morgan was good in this.
There's some really, really...
J.B. Smoove was fantastic.
J.B. Smoove was awesome. Yeah. There's a lot of laugh... heartily moments
for
in
sure.
This movie.
I like this a lot.
And it's I don't want to say it's absolutely poignant one up, but they do.
No,
look
there's
at,
some there's some insights.
Yes, there's definitely some insight.
There's some poignancy. I'll get on board with you on that.
Top five.
Number three for me
is what we're doing right now.
That's right. Ironically enough, number three for me, documentary. I don't think you liked it as much as I did, but I think you liked it. Talk about Somme about the. Young men attempting to aspire to be sommeliers. Master sommeliers.
A bunch of your dudes. A bunch of mini Bryans.
It's a really good documentary. I liked it a lot.
Horrible white fucks and then the one black guy.
What are you?
I'm not a horrible white fuck wandering around going, I'm blind. I've got to learn.
You're wearing a scarf
wine?
And horn-rim glasses. You're the ultimate, and your own t-shirt.
Brian.
You're the ultimate horrible white fuck.
Oh, no, I am! I just happened to throw the shirt on because I went to the gym and it was an old dirty shirt. I didn't know we were going to have our picture taken with DBK.
And a Fitbit and a vape pen.
What's wrong with it? Stop it. Leave me alone.
You're the worst.
I'm trying to be a healthy life.
I love it.
Trying to lead a healthy life. And
you're looking good, buddy.
Hey, look, man, it's cold in May, which is rare, and I have a scarf that hangs there. I'm like, you know what? I haven't worn that all year. Winter's over. I'm gonna throw it on as I skate down the street, and it flaps
in the wind. And it flaps in the wind behind
you. I loved it.
Like a cape.
Now I'm going to start smoking again.
Somme is a documentary about four young men, four horrible white fucks, as Anderson says.
And one black guy who they don't let in.
One black guy.
They don't let in the circle.
Who are attempting to become master sommeliers. There's less than 200 in the world. These are wine experts. They also have to know a lot about spirits and cigars and service. And they have to pass this ridiculous, rigorous test that, like I said, less than 200 people have.
I taste tea.
Yeah, and
walnuts.
And there's some great scenes where they're like, and they taste wine, and they have to swish around their mouth, and they have to find all the flavors. And the one that always sticks with me is like, fresh cut garden hose. What? How do you taste freshly cut garden hose?
Tears of a peasant.
Yeah, it gets absurd. There's some good laughs to be had if you sort of step back and look at the pretentiousness of it all.
It's awful.
But it's also a good story and following these guys' life dream.
I definitely learned a lot, and it wasn't
for sure
interesting, but it was difficult to spend that much time with people. Of that nature.
You have to take a step back and laugh at the pretentiousness of it all. I think some of it's done for laughs.
I don't know. Those guys weren't doing
it
for laughs.
Not on their parts, on the filmmakers' parts.
And when everything's said and done, what they do is incredibly impressive. There's no way,
for sure.
Most people could ever even attempt to do a fraction of what they do with their palates and their nose. But it's just to devote your life. I think somebody in my family back in Canada does this. I think he's one of the 200.
A master sommelier?
Yeah.
Wow. Big time. They get paid a lot, too.
Number three for me. I want to thank my friend Misty for turning me on to this one, and I believe I had you watch it.
Okay.
Talking about Big Nothing.
No,
2006,
not
Big Nothing. Terrible title. Not a good title.
I don't remember talking about it.
It was only released in 2006, only released in Europe, and it didn't really do much box office over there, so they decided not to even release it over here. Went straight to DVD.
Big nothing in the theaters.
Here's a big problem. David Schwimmer, Simon Pegg, and Alice Eve.
All right,
here's the story. Here's the storyline behind it. It's a small... Well, David Schwimmer is down on his luck. He's having some issues with his life. He's not going as it was supposed to. He's recently had some life-altering things happen, which caused him to go work like in a call center where he answers phones. And there's some funny stuff to be sure right there in the beginning with that. Simon Pegg is his mate. He sits right next to on his first day of the job. And Simon Pegg plays like a would-be scam artist. And then Alice Eve plays a teenage pageant queen who thrust herself into the scheme that they hatched. Let me just say, the scheme is... There's also a serial killer running amok in this small little town.
Wow, eventful.
A lot's going on, but very dark, very hilarious, and it's a fun little movie. If you like The Voices, which streaming. I talked about a couple weeks ago, The Voices is the same vein as The Voices.
Okay.
Same kind of vein.
Big nothing.
Goofy, but very funny. And when it's funny, it's fucking funny.
Can I say something? I'm writing it down right now.
I almost woke up the wife watching when I first watched this. I watched this a couple times.
Big nothing.
Big nothing. And it is streaming for free. I just did a little Google search looking on Hulu. They made me watch some horrible 60-second commercial.
Worth it.
And then boom, Hulu.
I don't know
how you kids are watching. I don't know if you can watch on the regular Hulu through your Apple TV. I think they only have
through your Roku
Plus. I think it's just Hulu Plus. I don't know.
No.
But it's streaming for free. It's not even available at all on Amazon Instant, which was weird. You can also send away for it. But Big Nothing, this is a good little movie that definitely disappeared. And if it wasn't for Misty, I would have never seen it.
I barely remember you talking about
Simon Pegg is great in this. He plays an American with a very good accent, with a big mustache. He's hilarious.
All right.
There's some really holy shit, what just happened? Some very funny moments. Big Nothing. Check it out.
Number two for me. Family film. Hey, people listen, they have kids. They want to know what to watch with their kids. A lot of people who watch movies are limited to watching.
No, don't apologize for liking kids' movies. Sorry.
I do not apologize. And I think I like this one better than you two, strangely. This is
a terrible band. I mean, most things are better.
That's a good point. I thought that you would like The Box Trolls a lot. And I don't think you liked it that much.
It's streaming?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Sign of a weak movie.
Awesome. The Box Trolls is directed by Graham Annabelle and Anthony Stacci. So this is up for Best Animated Feature last year. And this is the story of, well, it's a bizarre story where the trolls in this town of something.
Matter.
They're in cheese something.
It's a hideous film.
It is kind of a hit. It's a grotesque movie.
It is.
These trolls in this town are stealing the children, and this one guy, played by Ben Kingsley, says to the higher ups, who are the sort of cheese board, the cheese patrol, or whoever they are. He's like, "Hey guys, I'll capture and kill all these trolls if you make part of your cheese board." And they're like, "All right, cheese we'll board? Let you into whatever it is, the cheese council right. or something." And remember how important cheese was to them?
The Red Hatters, or was it White Hatters?
It was White Hats. The White Hat. They got to wear the White Hats, and they ate
it was
cheese
a whole universe.
And
it was very inventive.
I love the whole
stop motion animation.
It was fantastic.
Takes exceptionally long periods of time. My favorite thing, you didn't even see it, was at the very end during the credits. They actually show a guy in time lapse.
Building one,
no and kidding. They're commenting on how absurd it is, how long it takes. Like the two characters are talking about, just if I were to blink right now, it would take a man 5 hours to make me blink. That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah, I liked that movie a lot. It was inventive and, like I said, grotesque. The humans are much more grotesque than the troll. The trolls are adorable. Mm-hmm. The humans are gross. But, man, it's a fun movie. Tracy Morgan, a little distracting, but
it wasn't bad.
It was really.
So you got wine tasting and a movie centered around cheese tasting.
I guess it is kind of centered around cheese tasting.
You got Sucker Punch.
That's right. Centered around dick tasting. There's some forced.
Was there a fourth one?
There's some forcible.
What's your number two? Is it Box Trolls?
I had Fruitvale Station. Fruit.
Oh, fruit.
Tasty fruit.
You got the food going. It's not lost to me that all five of mine, for the most part, with the exception of, I guess, top five, my other four are fairly dark. Really dark, but comedic. Much like life, Brian. Life.
If you choose to look at it that way.
Is a black comedy.
That's right.
Much especially like, if you're black. And funny.
Starring you.
Yeah. I'm a white fuck, I thought, with a vape pen and a scarf.
That's right. Now you just gotta own it.
I gotta change my entire look now. Look at you. You're influencing me. Number two for me. This is something you might call a pitch black comedy, Brian. It's a stressful watch, too. Stressful.
Okay.
Talking about Cheap Thrills. 2013 Cheap Thrills. It's on Instant if you're Prime. If you're a Prime member, it's Instant on Amazon right now. You can watch that shit for free. You can stream that shit all day long with your Instant membership, with your Prime membership, I should say. Cheap Thrills. David Koechner steals the show here as he needed to because he is the star of it. But very
he steals
simple.
The show from himself.
But there's a lot of moving parts in this movie. I shouldn't say that, but there's like five main characters.
Good.
And
I vaguely remember you talking about Cheap Thrills
in a bar, And there's a guy who's, once again, down on his luck, having some money issues, doesn't want to let the wife know who they either just had a kid or the kid's about to, she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. I can't recall that. Not important. What is important is he runs into his old, runs into an old high school buddy he hadn't seen in like 5-6 years, maybe longer. And they're in a bar, and then they meet David Koechner, who's like doing blow in the bathroom. And he drops a $100 bill in the toilet, right? And he scuffles out of there. And then David Koechner is with this like hot blonde, and he's down at the end of the bar, and he's making noise, and he starts buying the two high school buddies who hadn't seen each other in forever. He brings them in, and he buys them drinks, and then he starts with the simple little like, give you $20 if you go over there and like, you know, grab the waitress's ass.
All right.
$20. And it just escalates. And the rest of the movie is just like, give you this for that.
That's the rest of the movie?
The rest, yeah. But many things occur, and there's obviously twists and turns.
Sure.
But it gets uncomfortable. And hilarious. Cheap fucking thrills. Huh? Cheap thrills. First heard Koechner talking about this one, actually, with Bill Burr on the Bill Burr like rare interview show that he did probably about a year ago. And I remember writing down, like, Koechner was talking with Burr saying that he was in the movie. He stars in the movie. Was there every day shooting it. And then when he went to the premiere to see it, he's like, I had no idea what kind of movie we were making until I actually saw it. It's one of those.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Okay. Cheap Thrills. I'm going to write that down too.
On Amazon Prime.
Cheap Thrills.
Amazon Prime Instant. Or you can, you know what? I think this is the one that's not available on Fuckflix. You got to check.
Okay.
You might be able to send away for it. Okay. I think you can.
All right.
One of these you couldn't, though. Maybe it was Big Nothing.
Cheap Thrills.
Maybe it was Big Nothing.
Number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know you like this movie, so I feel good about putting it number one. You can stream Short Term 12.
Oh, yeah.
Good news.
Good movie.
Written and directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
I might have enjoyed this mainly because of my own experience working at like a home similar to this. But
I can see you had a different reaction to it than me. I liked it for a sort of subtle character-driven story. I mean, the story is hardly even there. It's hardly even a plot. It's just lives of these people who Bree Olson? Is that who it is? Bree Larson, and John Gallagher Jr. And they work in a, what would you call
home
it?
Home for Disturbed Youth.
There you go.
Yeah,
home for disturbed youth, and they are the counselors. Like they run the home. They run the home. The home, and the kids come in and out of their lives.
Very realistic depiction, but with a lot of grace and a lot of comedy and likable characters.
You're right. I found this to be a more likable, more enjoyable version of Half Nelson. Like it was.
Half Nelson's forgettable.
Half Nelson is a good performance, wrapped in a not a much of a.
He's a teacher, but he's also a crackhead.
Yeah,
you know, and he's actually trying to help these other kids. It's like reversal.
Yeah, it's not quite as
short-term 12, and it could have easily gone down the woe is me and all victims, and it didn't do that at all.
It walks a tightrope. It's a very subtle movie.
The writer director whose name you butchered moments ago,
Destin, which I would do as well. Daniel Cretton.
Nothing against you. Maybe you're saying it correctly. If I recall reading about this, he worked in a very similar home, or he went to work at one for research. He spent a good amount of time, and it pays. It shows.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
Feels very authentic.
It does.
And I'm probably making it sound like a downer. There's some light, funny moments in this. There's some heavy moments, of course, but there's also some levity.
It's painted with hope for sure.
For sure.
Number one for me.
Short Term 12.
Of all the movies at a Flick Fest in the last 6 months, once again, you know, we're doing this slightly different. And of all the movies that I Flick Fest in the last 6 months, the one that sticks with me the most, the one that I think is most fun to talk about, and I probably learned the most about, and had the most fun watching.
Chappie.
Well, I mean, this list gets a little bit weird. I'm not going to do Chappie, you know what I mean? Because everyone knows Chappie. I'm talking about the final member, Brian.
Oh, the Dick
final member. Now, did you ever see this?
No, but I remember you talking about it.
You got to see the final member. You must see the 2012, the final member. It's for free on the old Fuckflix there. So just my only movie that's free on the old Fuckflix on my top five. It's about the world's only, thank God, phalaeological museum, which resides in a small little town called Húsavík in Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off with this man who
Dick Museum.
For whatever reason, it's a dick museum. He collected dicks. It opens up with some raw footage that's not that good. Don't worry, it gets better. It's footage of like him getting off a boat, or he's meeting someone down on the dock.
Hauling a big bag of dicks.
It's like handheld. And yeah, this guy comes off a boat. He's like, look, I got you a harbor seal penis, and I got you.
These are not human penises. These are animal penises.
Man collects penises for his museum, which started out at his house. He would just collect penises and bring them to his house, and his family thought he was a little quirky. But then he actually ended up getting its own space, and he's got like a sperm whale dick. Now, a lot of dicks have bones. I didn't know that. No. You learn that a lot of animals have
boner.
So here's where the name comes in, the final member, right? It's got this whole lead up, and then pretty good camera work too. It comes up on this one empty jar because it's showing all these
it's
different
on display
dicks,
at the museum.
All these different dicks with the names, the scientific name, you know, the Latin as well as the
is the blue whale one like human sized, like a size of a human being?
The sperm whale, it's really big. It's massive.
That's what I meant.
It's
very large.
Like you might have a blue whale in there as well.
I meant sperm whales.
But they have the common name and the Latin name, and then it comes up, it pans up on this empty jar, and it just says human,
Homo sapien,
and that's. The whole movie is him trying to track down an actual human dick.
Harder than you think.
I get it. Harder.
Good
one. But the two characters that he comes into contact with, the one in particular from the United States, I'll let you guys explore it and enjoy it because it's just like, really, dude, what? You're giving bad names to all Americans. Stop it. Holy shit. And the little Icelandic man that he finds that is willing to part ways with his penis is said to be the biggest cocksman in all of the land.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like an old 90-year-old man or something. They show him like getting a plaster cast of his dick, but it's not done properly. So the old man is yelling out in pain. It's a movie you won't ever forget. You'll learn some stuff. It's hilarious. It's light. It's like, I think it's only like 85, maybe 90 minutes. And it's streaming on the Fuckflix. The Final Member. Fantastic little documentary. Love nice. It.
All right. Final member.
The final member.
Logan, let's hear the listener tell them, Ryan. Actually, why don't you, if you have that that comment handy, that made me laugh. Is that from our Red Edit page? Anderson, our Red Edit, sub-Red Edit. Someone posted
We know it's Reddit, but yeah. JLC calls it Red Edit from the After Disaster.
Someone posted a topic that made me chuckle, and I said, Logan, we're reading this on the air.
What are you doing on Red Edit? What are you doing? Why
I check it from time to time. I look at our comments to see what people are saying.
You Googling
sometimes
yourself.
They have great ideas. That's exactly what I do. I have a news alert. People sometimes leave good ideas for top fives, and I want to see what people are saying.
This comes from Reddit user Maurice Lester. He says, not that big of a deal.
Wait, no, what's the title?
Oh, these assholes need to get their shit together.
It's true.
It's true.
He says, not that big of a deal, but I'm drunk and it's bugging me. A and B need to start recognizing the double O's and start pronouncing them appropriately. Babadook is supposed to rhyme with the words look and or book, right? It's okay if they want to call Logan Babadook, but at least do the movie justice because it's more than deserving of it. Also, he goes by Scoot McNary, not Scott.
Yeah, Scoot. I got a lot of that, but I apologize for that last week, fuckers.
I know I'm not the first one to make these corrections. Are they just ignoring people to be dicks, or are they not reading the feedback? Are they not reading the feedback that is given to them?
The latter.
Eyes frustrating. Eyes frustrating, but the love is still there.
Eyes
gotta love TFE. And then right below that, in like the response for the comments, he writes, they totally aren't assholes, by the way.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good stuff.
Feeling guilt there as he was
these
drinking.
These assholes need to get their shit together.
Hey, it wasn't that. I don't know if that was really that.
It was good.
Scathing. It was good. So how are we supposed to say the Babadook?
Babadook!
Not that we need to, because that's no one's name.
It's supposed to be Babadook.
Fuck that.
Babadook!
Duck, duck.
Not nearly as much fun to say.
Not nearly.
Sounds racist when you say it like that.
Babadook.
Babadook.
Fuck that.
Babadook.
Babadook forever.
The Babadook.
Just like it's Das Boot forever.
Thank you guys
just
for...
Just like it's Primer forever. It's never going to be Primer.
Never Primer. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. We appreciate it. Thanks to all of our featured artists, Diana Vandekamp, for coming and doing Red Light, Green Light. And check us out. Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault on both, AndersonandBrian.com. Thanks for the continued click-throughs, you guys. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with a full, robust episode of Flick Fashion's Top 5 all around. And until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.